Bobby.
Hello, VP9. How are you?
And I see Marshman's bird is trying really, really hard to keep up.
Yeah, doesn't look fake at all.
not the slightest. Not a bit.
Oh boy.
Not a bit.
It looked like someone is holding it on a stick and just moving it around.
That's amazing.
So whoever did that shot got lucky.
Well, welcome to the coffee break, guys. It's nice to see ya. Hope you are all well. What's that, Peter? What's today? Is today the 7th?
It is the 7th of May, Thursday, wow. All day, believe it or not. Thursday? Yes, it is. Oh, my. It's Friday Eve.
We got bank holiday tomorrow.
What is coming in?
Bank holiday tomorrow.
What the bank holiday would that be, Peter?
Something to do with the war. I haven't mentioned it. I already mentioned it once. It's the end of the Second World War or something.
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't have a holiday tomorrow.
No.
The sad part is that this year is 75 years ago since the end of the war. Because of the circumstances, all celebrations have been called off.
Well, Robbie, I have to apologize, sir.
Oh,
I have to apologize because I failed to join you at the for the broadcast last night. Did I miss anything exciting?
Well, it went out a little late.
That was a plus. Yeah.
The HDMI extenders worked brilliantly.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
I got to correct repeater. Myself. That's a repeater. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Worked flawlessly. So I was quite pleased about that. But I ended up sitting in the producer's room anyways.
Oh, no. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, because I don't have a laptop right now. So
okay.
I haven't got that fixed yet. So
because my prediction was you were just going to point a camera at the blank wall and say, yep, that's the show for tonight. You sit in the producer's room producing away and just let the camera point to the blank wall. See what happens.
That sounds like a really relaxing night.
Oh, maybe sure.
I will get a holiday.
Yeah, there you go. ASMR. Oh,
I'll just chew some ramen.
There you go.
But I've got my Pinebook Pro. But I don't have any way to output the video from that yet. But I should do soon because I've got those repeaters now. So, but it's just the timing. Just not enough time to get everything set up all by my lonesome.
Sure.
I heard from the contractor. I got to email him back today because I did mention yesterday that I was emailing the contractor. I mentioned that before the show. You may not have heard BP9. And he thinks he might be able to come in and get some of the things done next week.
Nice.
So, yeah.
That'll be excellent.
We might have a little bit of behind the scenes as we get some things set up. Cool. So
that would be nice to get that platform built and maybe the cables cleaned up or something.
Definitely the conduit.
The
conduit and the cables through the conduit, getting everything wired and getting the backdrops up on the walls, like the mounting system for the backdrops. Mm-hmm. The platform, all that kind of stuff. Through this whole situation, and now that I'm kind of feeling out the space, I'm almost thinking that I might forego the platform and just use the floor.
Okay.
Then I can move things around a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. No stranger to having cables on the floor, and Marshman can attest to that, right?
Yes. No, but I do want to have a conduit. And when I say conduit, I'm not talking like just the cables running out. Through the conduit and then out onto the floor. Like, I mean, like this conduit is going to be custom built with jacks built into it. So I'll be able to plug into the HDMI and plug into the audio connectors and everything on that. So
that's fancy.
It should be. Fancy. Well, it should be functional, but it'll be nice.
Yeah. Since you're already doing some construction, you might as well do it properly.
Yeah, absolutely. But originally I was thinking we'd have the jacks built into the platform, but the more I think about it and the more that I kind of get familiar with the space, I think building a platform might restrict us to that spot where
when we're just want to move things around though in the future, right?
Yeah.
What you're thinking. Yeah.
It just gives us more flexibility to be able to not be trapped in that one area of the studio. We can move the camera, we can move the chairs, whatever we want to do to change things up. So I'm starting to lean that way. So the
backdrop that you're talking about, were you meaning to drape over the blue wall that you painted? Because you painted that blue wall as a backdrop, didn't you?
Yeah.
So what are you thinking?
The backdrop system is going on the gray wall. So you know the wall that's kitty corner to where the sunlight comes in?
Mm-hmm.
So that wall is going to have a 7-foot drape on it. So,
nice.
Okay. Or drape system, I should say. So there's three drapes.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be pretty neat. So just pull a chain and change it to brick. Pull another chain and change it to a steampunk kind of look.
How I think cool we've got is a, that?
Yeah. I think that'll be neat.
And if you use the right background color, and you can have a fake bird flying back and forth on your on your background. There it is. Yep. I just love that bird. I mean, it's a great backdrop, but that bird is just fascinating to me. I don't know why.
Just makes it.
But it's just, I mean, I know it's fake, but I just love watching it go across the screen. It's great. I could sit there and just watch that all day.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
See, doesn't take much to amuse me, does it?
BP9 and team, everybody who's here, I know in particular BP9 and I have had this discussion, and we've talked about how you really prefer to have your cloud assets locally controlled so that you don't have stuff out there on some server somewhere
Absolutely.
That you don't have control over,
totally
right?
I agree with that totally.
Yeah. But the fact is that like services like Google Drive really make it easy for someone like me to transfer big files around and get them from one place to another. But I discovered a problem with Google Drive, and that's that when I create a share and I tell somebody, hey, like share it with somebody and say, hey, go and upload the video here. Mm. It turns out when they upload the video to my share, they're using their space, not my space.
Interesting.
So even though I pay extra to have a massive amount of storage on Google, if they upload and they're just using a free account and they exceed that, they can't upload their file to my share. It's like, what's the point? Yeah. So I ran into that this week. And so I set out to figure out a solution. And that brought me back to something that I had researched in the past but never tried. And that's Nextcloud.
Okay.
And yeah, I heard of it.
Boy, oh boy, is it ever something else. Oh my goodness.
Is it a good something else or is it a bad
something else?
Okay.
It's not too hard to set up.
Well, I downloaded the OVA, so I deployed it on the virtualization hypervisor just as a test, and now it's in production because it's amazing. It's incredible. So it seems to me like it's better than Google Drive, but it's self-hosted.
So you deployed
it on the server, right?
What's that?
You run the Nextcloud server yourself locally?
Yeah. Nextcloud server VM. So github.com/nextcloud/VM. And there's a downloadable OVA file. So I downloaded that and deployed it. So first thing I did is I set a Samba share on my storage server and I used that for the storage. And then I realized, well, now I've got local storage on the virtual appliance and Samba storage. So I removed that and instead set up an FS tab entry and replaced the root folder storage folder with the Samba share. So, all of the storage for Nextcloud is now moved onto my storage server. So it's part of my backup set and everything else, and it's encrypted. But it gives me I can set up user accounts and I can set their quota myself. So if I want to give somebody 500 gigs of space, I just 500 gigs.
I got a bunch of people you yesterday, Robbie. You go
do you?
Yeah, you called it not a waveform, you called it something else, and you called it wrong, the wrong word. It's a waveform, not a...
I saw your message, I replied.
You said
I was calling it, because I was calling the ambient noise, ambient noise.
No, you called it a wave something, we won't call it a waveform.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. What did I say?
I can't remember.
Did I say wavetable?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's not a white table, that was it.
Oops. That's such a Robbie move.
Sorry.
Oh, well.
It did me. Sorry. I said I'm about FFT as well. I didn't know if you got that comment as well. You didn't probably know what FFT is. You know what FFT is? A fast forwarder transfer.
I am able to catch absolutely nothing you're saying, Peter. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I say again, do you know what FFT was? I said FFT.
FFT, yes. Yeah, table inversion, yeah.
Yeah, for your transfers. You can do tricks with mathematical tricks when reducing.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can cancel out noise, no problem. But I don't want to do that in post. Could you imagine the amount of work with an hour and a half video? So
you could do it real time as well, but they don't.
Yeah.
We do that.
Yeah, we have. Well, you've seen my audio rack. We've got noise cancellation in there. Plus, we run everything through off Onyx.
I was doing that to my voice at one time in the university to try and improve it. I got up by the way there. I discovered that my voice was being FM'd, frequency modulated with a tone, which is the back of my throat, because they use a different muscle to vibrate my voice, and it's frequency modulating my voice. That's why it sounds a bit raspberry, and that's why it's a bit raspberry, because of the frequency modulation happening, because your larynx produces sine waves, this thing produces sort of like a frequency modulation in your voice, and it's a bit... And the frequency has been shifted down.
Something's not quite working, Peter.
No, that's fine. Yeah.
It sounds like his dog is barking.
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as the waveform cancellation with an FFT filter, like I do that as kind of like a final step in the audio chain.
Yeah.
But I only look at it as a final. Like I always do noise reduction and everything on the track afterwards.
This was quite physical mathematics. This was because each of my frequencies in my voice would be frequency modulated, so they would be shifted slightly, and that's why I had a bit raspberry, and that's the reason why I was trying to use FFT to remove it. The one time, but we still run out of time, and also I couldn't get the transport down to Belfast. So if I had more time, I probably would have had another go at it. You know, it's an interesting project for somebody. You know, if they could get onto a computer and use the sound card to do FFT on my voice or something like that. You know.
You use like a tone generator?
No. What I was doing was recording the audio and with an audio processor doing FFT with a It was a C program and trying to remove certain bits of it and trying to work.
Oh, okay. Well, equalization would certainly help with that a lot. I think I'm having a great deal of trouble understanding you today, Peter, but as you're talking about using a sound card to attenuate your voice, it made me think of a vocoder. So I'm picturing Peter now with a tube in his mouth and doing like,
yeah,
California girl.
That was doing his best that. Peter Frampton impression.
Yes, exactly.
That's what I was thinking of, Peter Frampton.
Yeah.
More like Peter Bloody Pan.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So Marshman, I have a.
Yeah, just finishing off. Since you are a little bit forced to use the production studio to do some to do the first few weeks of shooting, it was an excellent idea to do a show on how to improve the low the noise of the server equipment.
Digitally.
Yeah. Yeah, or just changing the fan or installing a fan and just.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I thought that was kind of a neat thing. It's not very techy, really, but sometimes we don't really think about it. But it needed to be done, and it made a difference.
Yeah,
it did make a difference, made a lot of difference. It's my voice to play up because of my problem, my lack of muscle pelvis going. That's what it does to it. It makes it sound horrible. Well, I'm bad today.
Okay.
There you go, yeah.
It's bugging you today, is it?
It gave word because I'm had a drink for a while either. I can't drink very much, so it's difficult to drink as well at the moment. Because I cough it all up. So then the lungs were not good, you know.
Yeah, that's tough.
No.
Peter, how long have you had that?
Since they took the 3,000 down, the day they took the 3,000 down, I went into the I went to have the operation. Actually saw it on the TV and they knocked me out after. And when I came round, I heard about the 3,000 coming down in America. And it blew up there. That's when it was, actually the same day. That was probably 19 years.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I have to live with lots of horrible things, yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of things comes a little more difficult when you don't have a normal voice that one can use. So,
yeah.
It's difficult to make conversation with people because it's very difficult to understand me sometimes.
Karaoke night is never the same either.
Yeah, not to mention just the urge to shout warnings at people or call out to if they are more than 20 meters away, listen, no one will hear anything, mm-hmm. especially not in a crowd.
I also sent you an email to Robbie, something you might be interested in building. I don't know if you will be interested or not. It's a Cat to Cat 5 TV contacts or something.
Oh, yeah? Cool. Yeah,
it's a battery charger, but it's one I I reverse engineered it from somewhere. It's quite a good one. I charge up all sorts of things on it. Trouble mule up a bit more. Mule here.
I never introduced everybody, just for.
Sorry.
BP9. Hi.
Hello.
Ron Morissette up there. Hey, Ron. Solbu. Hello. We got Bo Lechnowski. Hey, Bo.
Hey.
The talkative Peter Lewis. I'm Robbie and Marshman down there as well. Yeah. Oh boy.
Marshman did
somebody clear his valve for him. Well,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did not mean to make you laugh, Peter.
Now, Marshman, I have a quick question for you, sir.
Finally.
Did you manage to tune into the broadcast with your Roku last night, or did you remember to do that?
I forgot.
I would like to get a Roku job.
I'd like to get a Roku for the studio. I think that would be a good thing. I've just got the one at home, so it would be nice to have one there.
Oh yeah,
I could test too. Yeah.
But you're going to overload your internet if you keep, you know, sending a broadcast out and then, you know, calling one back in again through half a dozen different channels.
Yeah.
That might overload.
I think we're pretty good. I mean, we get about 800 meg down, so it shouldn't bottleneck with anything, you know, that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Granted, I've got my next cloud running now, so.
Okay, so I'll tell you what I think I've mentioned, if it's okay to mention a brand name. I think I've mentioned the Synology box before.
Yeah.
And it can do the same thing. I could create a share and I could publish it and say, okay, Robbie, this share is for you and you can do it and I can assign quotas and et cetera, just okay. like you can with yours. What I did find, however, is that office documents such as, you know, so-called Word documents and Excel documents and those binary format documents, they end up as database blobs inside the Synology box. And I'm not sure how you would export them or back them up. You must be able to. This is one of the reasons I avoid proprietary formats. It's one of the reasons I always use text-based formats like Markdown or TeX, you know, LaTeX.
That's one of the nice things about this Nextcloud is if I go onto my server and look at the drive that I'm saving the Nextcloud data to, it's just a Linux file system. So I can navigate it like normal. So it's like a home folder.
That's true. And that's true for any shares that I create that, for instance, I might make available to you or whatever. That is also true. But there is a separate piece of software on the Synology box called Office or something. Or I don't think they can call it Office. It'd probably be copyright issues, you know, calling it that. But the files that are created by that application are... As I said, blobs in the database.
They're not files. So,
but they work just like Google Cloud, Drive does.
With the next cloud, it allows you to create files in the in the web, just like Google Drive.
Okay.
And then you can edit them inline like it has.
But one of the things that Google can do really, really well that Microsoft can't is being able to collaborate on a being able to collaborate on a document or a spreadsheet all at the same time with Microsoft.
Yeah, that's nice.
You have
Google
to check the document out. With Google, I have literally seen multiple people modifying different parts of the same file at the same time. And
it's
they can
fun
keep
to watch.
It all straight. It's amazing. It's
we did that on my show. I shared a public link. People were
You did.
Posting things all over the spreadsheet.
I wrote the only thing I wrote, I think, was hacked by Solbu.
There you go. And I think you can do the same thing with I have not tried it because, as I say, I'm keeping away from those proprietary formats. But I think the Synology can do the same. Is that true for your Nextcloud account as well? Your Nextcloud.
I haven't tried it. I'm the sole. I've added a few users to it. I should add you guys to it, and then you can let me know. We can.
Well, that all boils down to whether you need that functionality, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
It would be neat for. I think it's pretty collaborative. Like it even has a built-in video chatting service.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have like a Zoom meeting, but local, like on your own server. So that's part
of
it as well.
And of course, all that depends on how good your internet is, both up and download, because your internet has to be strong enough. Well, yours is,
Yes.
Go off. But, but
I have earned this internet.
I know you have. I know you have.
Patience.
I can still call you a show off, though.
But I'll just have to give you some space on my next cloud server, and then you can't give me a hard time. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I can. Yeah, I can still give you a hard time. You know, because I can, right? That's what I do.
Robbie.
Yeah.
So, Robbie, are you going to be doing a review of Nextcloud on one of your upcoming shows?
Oh, I sure am. Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be great.
I'll do the whole deployment and everything. And you can put it on a Raspberry Pi or something too. I don't know if you'd really want to, but maybe an HC1 or something would be an appropriate unit.
Right, yeah.
That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, HC1.
Yeah, like, so stick an SSD on there, like a terabyte SSD, and you've got a little server.
I only have a problem with Nextcloud, and that is because it is a fork of own cloud, which started this. When you upgrade, you have to upgrade to each major versions in between. So if you, for instance, have a Nextcloud 14 dots something, and you upgrade to the
newest, just don't fall out of date, Solbu.
Yeah, but if you're using Debian, for instance, you don't always have the latest, and you upgrade to the latest Debian after 2 years. I'm just picking numbers off my head, but if you have upgrading then from Nextcloud 14 to Nextcloud 17, you have to upgrade to 15, 16, and on each major versions. Or you can't upgrade, or you have to reconfigure everything and add users all over again. And yeah, that is the only problem I have. The only pain with it.
I don't have a problem with that because I would just export my config and redeploy a new deployment. Personally, that's how I would do it. And then because I'm going to be presumably upgrading hardware at that point anyways, or something, right? So, because
I agree with JP, I got a server from them, and I don't like the software on it at all. Because it's commercial, you can't do very much.
Right. The Synology unit. Yeah.
I remember the first time I shared a file from my local computer with a friend on the internet. It was 17 years ago. I was using a KDE 2, 2 point something. I think it was in Red Hat 7.1. And the KDE 2 had a built-in small file server where you could configure it to share a specific file. And you could configure it to share the file until it has been downloaded X amount of time. So if it was downloaded one or two times, then it would stop sharing that file.
Mm. So, kind of like how I have my seeders set up on my torrent server. So I have it set to a specific ratio and then it stops seeding. So similar kind of idea, I guess.
Yeah.
Donate enough bandwidth. Anytime I download a new image of Ubuntu on BitTorrent, it'll share it for a couple weeks and then stop sharing.
Now, cool. How did you enable BitTorrent? I'm a little concerned about, exposing a machine to the internet unless you stick it on like a Raspberry Pi and just put it on a public port. That way you don't care if it gets whacked, right?
Why would it get whacked away at?
Well, I mean, BitTorrent has to be installed on a Linux box somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And so you either harden that Linux box or you don't put anything of value on it. So in case it gets compromised, you don't.
I don't have any concerns about BitTorrent compromising the system. I think it's more people who download illicit material via BitTorrent that they get compromised because of what they downloaded.
So do you have like a Raspberry Pi? Do you have like a Raspberry Pi just
I've got a home cloud, an Odroid home cloud set up running my BitTorrent server.
Okay.
I think Bill has a similar setup, Bill? So
yeah, I have two HC1s and they're strictly the torrent servers for Cat5 and NEMS. There's nothing else on it. Nothing at all.
Hmm. Okay.
Very cool.
Yes, it is. Yes,
thanks, Marshman. Well, guys, I'm beat and I am behind.
Bird is still trying hard to get across the screen. Just,
yeah,
having a great old time.
Yeah. I worked at the studio. I worked at the studio till about 11:30 last night.
Yikes!
And still only about 2/3 the way done. Getting the episode together and haven't gotten yesterday's coffee break online yet. So starting to really feel the impact of doing too much.
Yeah.
I wish I had known you were still there. I didn't get to sleep till after 2.
Oh man. Yeah. Well, I was there, but I wasn't online like chatting on Discord or anything. Right. I was in DaVinci Resolve with about a 1,000 edit points and all the visual assets for the audio
looking
data.
To the on-demand version of the show in order to see the difference between...
the waveform.
Yeah.
it scrolls across the screen. So. Yeah.
And that's the title for this...
maybe I need to revoice that.
For today's episode of Coffee Break, the waveform.
No, I'll call it Wavetable.
Yeah. Well, right, anytime, guys, Robbie, anytime you need to reduce your workload on this Coffee Break thing, just say the word. I mean, we don't have to... do this every single day.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm also running. I talked about the fact that we're probably going to run out of space on Vimeo, and we hit 96% last week. So it was right at the end.
Okay.
So yeah, it'll happen. So
yeah
we'll keep it going. We'll just evolve it based on what we're able to do. So,
yeah, right, and also just to have launched the idea, even if it's going to be shut down, but we don't have to upload all the episodes.
I thought about that too.
A break. Yeah,
but then it's going to be like, oh, but that was so good. We had this wonderful discussion. Yeah, yeah. All right, guys, I got to run. Have a wonderful afternoon. Sir. See you tomorrow.
Enjoyed it.
Take care.
Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.